Everyone else, grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Hey, by the way, everybody, happy birthday. Look at your neighbor and say, happy birthday. Some of you are like going, what? So today, as Pastor Duane mentioned, is Pentecost. Yay! Come on now, where's the excitement? Some of you are like, I'm not sure what this is. Yeah, some of you are like, I'm not even familiar with the church calendar. A penta what? A Pentecost, right? So this is 50 days after Passover, 50 days from Easter, and this is a celebration. So let me tell you a little bit about the history of Pentecost and then why it's important for us today. Y'all ready for this one? So Pentecost is the celebration, was a Jewish celebration that began as a celebration of the first harvest. It was the celebration of the Feast of Weeks. It was the fact that God has been good. He's opened his hand. He has blessed his people, and they're beginning to experience the abundance of the harvest that God has for them. Aren't you glad that our God is a generous God and fills our lives with good things? And that was part of that's how Pentecost began, as a celebration that God is a good and generous God who blesses his people. And people would travel from all over and then join in Jerusalem for this great celebration. And there was feasting and there was eating and there was great rejoicing. Well, as time went by, as it got closer to Jesus' time, they weren't just celebrating the harvest. They were celebrating the fact that God cared about his people, that he gave them the law, that they gave them the Torah, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and that God gave them the law or the Ten Commandments. And so it was this great celebration because God had revealed himself to his people and had given the law. Now, the purpose of the law was not just to create rule breakers. The purpose of the law was to define a people. It was to help make a people. And so if you've ever read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll find out there's a whole lot of different laws and stuff like that in it that touch every area of life. Not just areas of worship and celebration or sacrifice. It touched every area. It touched private areas of life. It touched about things in your home, how you dressed, what happened during the day, what happened at night. The law touched every part of God's people's life. And for them, it became a way by which they were defined. It was part of their identity. Well, Pentecost, so by the time of Jesus, they're not just celebrating harvest, they're celebrating the fact that God has given the law and that we are the people of God. And so there's all this celebration. Well, Pentecost happens after Jesus dies and rises again. We're going to look at a passage here in Acts in a moment. But with it comes the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. And what's so important is to understand, how is it that the followers of Jesus are to be defined? Who are you? Who are us all together? What is it God is calling us to be? And what he is calling us to be is a people who are filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. That which is to define and bring identity to our lives is the working of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. And this is so important because you get to reflect the presence and power of God to a dying and broken world. And we need to understand the reason Pentecost is so important is because it's the reminder that God has empowered us to bear witness to him in our world. And so I'm going to share just a few moments around anointed for purpose. Now, if I do this fast enough, I'm aware of the clock. I'm hoping that we'll have opportunity to actually begin to live out the message this morning. And so if I'm fast on some things, I just apologize because I want to get to the good stuff at the end. But the big idea is simply this. To serve God's purpose, we need God's Spirit. To serve God's purpose, we need God's Spirit. Hey, say this with me this morning. To serve God's purpose, we need God's Spirit. See, this is the thing that you have to understand about all that's going on, that Jesus, he began something. And that which he began, his people, his church, are to continue. And so as we begin looking, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And Luke is the one who wrote Acts. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke, and they kind of go together. But as you read from Luke, you'll find out that he has studied and he has researched the life of Jesus. And he has been so profoundly impacted by the good news of Jesus that he just can't help but share it with others. And it's not just about what Jesus did, but also what he set in motion. And so as we begin reading in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 4 through 8 and then make a few comments. And it says this, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Everybody say command. How many know that command is not a suggestion? Can I get a witness? He wasn't just saying, well, you know, if you have time, if it fits in your schedule, if you remember, do this. No, he says, hey, he's commanding them. He said, guys, this is so important. And he says this, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say wait. How many of you love to wait? How many of you are a little bit impatient at times? You like stand in front of the microwave going, good Lord, would you just hurry up? Right? My bad started with the microwave this week. I tried to soften butter in a microwave. And I put it on soften. And then I forgot. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, it was soft. But Jesus has commanded his disciples, says, hey guys, listen, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. And to wait for what? Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I want to note three quick things from this passage. First is this, that Jesus has given his followers a mission. I want you to know that when you came to faith in Christ Jesus, that Jesus, he loves rescuing and redeeming people, but he didn't just want it to end with you. God has put something in you because there's something God wants to work through you. And as you have come to faith in Christ, you need to understand that God has taken your life and he says, you know what? I want to give you a purpose and a mission that is greater than just you. You see, Jesus, even when he came with purpose. Jesus didn't come to the earth because he was just looking for a weekend away. He wasn't going, hey, you know what? I hear that Bethlehem is a great time to vacation at, you know, and just went there. Jesus stepped into time and space because he had a purpose. And that purpose was to bring salvation and peace. You know, salvation, this idea, and I think we have to continue to understand and grasp that Jesus has come to bring salvation, and salvation is about rescue from sin. It's about redemption from evil. It's about restoring that which is broken. You see, sin had corrupted and ruined creation, and God was not content to let humanity stay broken. God was not indifferent to our pain and indifferent to the things that are going on around us, that he was just like, listen, this was not my intent. This broken world is not my intent. And my desire is to restore that which is broken. And so Jesus came to rescue, to redeem, and to restore. He came to bring us freedom. He came to bring us out of Egypt, to release us from the bonds. Now, when we were kids, the three olders in my family, David, Daphne, and Joel, I was the middle of the top three. When mom and dad would go away, we would play games. Games like trying to be Houdini. How many of you know who Houdini is, right? The great escape artist. And so we would get rope, and then we would do our best to tie one another up so they couldn't get out. How many think that's a great game to play? That's so much fun. And so you tie them up, and you know, mom and dad are gone. You tie your sibling up as tight as you can, and then you just let them be and say, okay, let's play Houdini, see if you can get out. And then, you know, you got rope burns and all this fun stuff, right? Mom and dad are like, where'd that come from? You're like, I don't know. But this is what I knew. Like, we'd play Houdini, and there were times we could get ourselves out, and there were other times we couldn't. And just so you know what sin's power is in our lives? It binds us up in such a way that there's nothing we can do to get out. And this is so important. We couldn't do it for ourselves, and so Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He came to rescue us from sin. And not only rescue us from sin, but to redeem us from evil, from the difficult and the broken things. He seeks to bring good. This is why our confidence, we did a whole series on a better tomorrow, because we recognize that God is working in all things, that he is working to bring good. And even though we may stumble and we may hit difficult moments and opportunities, we recognize God is like, listen, you may think this is terrible, but I will bring good out of it. Because we serve a Savior who saves, and so he rescues, he redeems, but ultimately he restores. And the purpose that Jesus came with, he then entrusts to his followers. Did you know that God's heart is still to rescue, redeem, and restore? And even though he has died and risen again and ascended into heaven, that mission has not changed. He has now entrusted it to all of us who are followers of Jesus. You see, we are called to bear witness to his grace and to his goodness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You see, we've been given a mission. We have been given the responsibility to take the love and grace of God and bring it to a broken world. So Jesus has given his followers a mission. Everybody say, I got a mission. Everybody say again, I got a mission. And the mission has been given to you from our Savior. Secondly, divine work requires divine empowerment. Okay, this is the second idea. The first is this, that Jesus has given his followers a mission. Secondly, divine work requires divine empowerment. The task is greater than our capacities. We can't do the mission alone. We can't do it in our own selves. Now, honestly, let's have an honest moment. How many here at times wrestle with your own inadequacies and insecurities? Right? Oh my goodness, you want me to do what? Like, how many of you, you're still struggling to get your life together, let alone try and help other people? I need the mission at work, and like, I need Jesus to do the work. I need salvation in me. And God's like, yeah, I understand that, but I also want to bring salvation through you. Yet we often feel so inadequate, and we wrestle with insecurities and inadequacies, and we think, you know what? We'll just leave it to the professionals. That'll be Pastor Dave's problem, or Pastor Dwayne's, Pastor Rachel, or Pastor... We'll leave it to them. But Jesus says, no. If you're my follower, you've been given a mission. You've been given a mission. If we're going to do it, then this divine work, this divine mission, it's going to require something bigger than us. And so because of it, we need the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus knew. Jesus knew that this work of God, what was not something we just say, well, I'll just wing it. He's like, listen, you're going to need help with this. You're going to need an empowerment. Even Jesus, when he began his ministry, said this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He says, listen, I've been given this mission, and in order to accomplish this mission, you need to understand, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And so after he dies and rises again, he says, guys, listen, I'm setting you on mission. But you need to understand, you're not going to be able to do this stuff in your own strength. You're going to need divine assistance. You're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus says, hey guys, listen, here's my command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Wait for the gift, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have time to look at all of this, but if you go to John chapter 20, you'll find out in the upper room on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, he shows up to his disciples and breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And the thing that was dead in them because of sin was made alive. But following that, he says, but now what I want you to do is you need to wait for the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, for everybody who's going to be back in church next week, the way we do baptism around here, we are not a sprinkling church. Just heads up, we are not about like you just need a little dampness on you. We are about soaking people. So to baptize means to dip or to dunk. And so we got this big tank of water that will fill up and we will warm it up. So if you'd like to be baptized, it will be relatively warm. It's a beautiful thing. And then we take you and you'll step into it. And we'll go through the whole things about confession of faith in Christ, a commitment to live for him, honor him. And then I'll say in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and then I'll put him down. And when I put you down, I wait till the bubbles stop, and then I bring you up. Okay, I don't do that anymore. But you put them down. And when they come up, they are soaked, saturated, all wet. It's not a misting. It's a soaking. And I love it because Jesus said, hey guys, listen, what you need to do, you need to wait in the city for the gift my Father promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you were baptized with water. Now I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I want your life to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, not just little misties, but I want you soaked. Because if you're going to live the purpose, you need to be saturated. Rachel and I we ran into a missionary friend that we remember from many years ago when he showed up at the house, and it was during the time when there was this great rainstorm. It was a summer rain, so it was really hot out, and the rain was refreshing. How many have been in those moments? It's hot out, and you're just like, I don't want to stay in. I need to get a little wet and cool off. And so I was out with the little children. It was just Sam, John, and Emma at the time. And they're all jumping in puddles, dad's, you know, playing along and having all this fun. And Rachel was standing up underneath the porch, under a roof. And it just didn't seem right for her to be dry. And so I remember picking her up and then carrying her underneath. We had an eaves trough that didn't have a downspout. It just eaves and then ended. And then the water would just pour. It was a great rain. It was not some misty rain. It was like a pouring rain. And it was just coming off that downspout like crazy, or that eaves trough. And I'm holding her underneath her. And I want you to know we got her soaked. It was a beautiful thing. And I felt good. And my children were happy. And she got soaked. Now, this is what I know about getting soaked. At first, it can be a little bit uncomfortable. Do you remember, have you ever been like, you know, you start getting wet and you're like, ah, and it's just kind of uncomfortable. But then you cross to a certain place and you're like going, it doesn't matter. Go ahead, get me wet. I'm wet already. You know what I'm talking about. You have to kind of go through a little bit of discomfort. But all of a sudden, you can experience the soaking. And you know what I believe? This is what I believe, because I believe Jesus says, listen, I want to pour out my Spirit. And if we took time, we could look in Acts chapter 2. He says, this gift isn't just for you. This is for all the children far off. Like, this is for us today. Jesus wants to pour out his Spirit so that we're soaked. And there may be moments between the not soaked to soaked that may seem to get a little bit uncomfortable. But I want you to know there's a blessing that Jesus longs to pour out, because he knows we can't do the task on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. You see, it was Jesus who said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Later on, Peter would stand up and say, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I will pour it out. And my encouragement to everyone here, if you're a follower of Jesus, we need to be the kind of people that step out into the pouring rather than just stay in the comfort of sitting under a shelter. Because there's a work that God wants to do, not just in us, but through us. And for us to do it, we need the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Thirdly, and now this seems so, you know, like this should be like, yeah, duh. But I think it needs to be said. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's what Jesus wants for his followers. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you make it about what you want? I want this, but not this. I want this, but not this. I want what I want, right? Like, I forget what burger place it is. Maybe it's Subway. However you want it, right? Because how many of us, we think like we're doing life right when we get what we want. Have you ever asked, what is it that Jesus wants for me? Do you know what Jesus wants for you? Jesus wants his Spirit to be poured out upon your life. Jesus wants his Spirit, wants the Spirit to be poured out upon our life, because he knows this, that if that Spirit will be poured out upon our lives, it's going to begin to change us in ways that we need to be changed so that we can live the mission. You see, Jesus wants the Holy Spirit, his presence in us and through us, to be the thing that identifies us as followers of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit is upon our lives, when our lives are saturated by the Spirit, our lives will be marked by holiness. It was Jesus who said, listen, the Holy Spirit, he's talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And just so you know, if you're saturated with the Holy Spirit, you know what? You begin to reflect the Spirit of holiness. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be set apart from sin and set apart for God. You see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in you, what ends up happening is you'll find out there'll be things in your life you're like going, you know what? I don't want that anymore, because you know what? I want God more. And we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will help us live holy. It will mark our lives with holiness. Not only that, if we allow the Holy Spirit to saturate our lives will be marked by heaven's priorities, where what's important to God becomes important to us. And another thing that will happen if we allow the Spirit to be poured out, the Spirit's empowerment will not only mark our lives with holiness and heaven's priorities, but also by God's heart. Did you know that God loves people? Even broken people. I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed that sometimes it's hard to get along with people because they're messed up? They're difficult. They're unkind. And I'm not talking about you, Neil. I'm just so you know. Like we deal with people and sometimes it's hard. But this is, again, this is, we look to Jesus, because Jesus says, listen, I want to pour out my Spirit on you. And did you know when the Spirit of God begins to rest on us, it begins to give us a love for people that's way different than the world understands. That God longs to pour out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we will never change our world. If we're just trying to change the world because we don't like what they're doing, then what will happen is we will treat people callously and sometimes harshly. But it totally changes when you love people. When you're like going, you know what, I want to help. I care about you. I want to see your life flourish. I want to see the purpose God made for you manifest. And you come along and you care deeply for people as God does. It changes everything. You see, it's Jesus who says, guys, listen, don't, you've been made for purpose. You've been made for mission. You can't do this work alone. You need the Holy Spirit, and it's what I want for you. And will we want what he wants? Will we desire, will we seek the things that he wants for our lives? Because to serve God's purpose, we're going to need God's Spirit. And so Jesus says, guys, this is what I want you to do. I want you to wait. wait for the gift my father promised. And when he says wait, that this idea of wait is not just passively like going, well, it'll just kind of like wander and meander into my life someday. No, that this idea of waiting is really a posture. It's a way we position our lives to begin to receive from God so that he might empower us, that we might change the world around us. We have to learn to wait. And waiting is, again, not always easy. But this is what I want to do. So I'm going to go through four things, hopefully really quickly, about what wait is. And just so you know, it uses the letters W-A-I-T, which is wait. And just so you know, wait on the Lord is not W-E-I-G-H-T on the Lord. That's a different burden. W-A-I-T, wait. So you know how you begin to wait on the Lord? W, ready for it? You need to begin to worship him. We need to learn to lift our voices to God in worship. Did you know that praise prepares God's people for victory? You want something to begin to change in your life? Begin to praise God. You want something to begin to begin to see some movement and progress on things? Just begin to praise God, because worship begins to set things in motion. And part of this idea of worship, that if we're going to wait on God, we have to worship, and we have to learn to lift our hands and our voices and our hearts and begin to cry out to him. Now, Psalm 34, 1 through 4, I remember singing this as a kid at church, and it was done from the King James. So I'm going to quote it from the King James because I love it. It says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody say all times. All right. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Okay? Like, I'm going to do this over and over. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now, just so you know, it's talking about your mouth, and then it's talking about hearing. So just a heads up. This whole worship thing is more than just silence. Silence is an aspect of worship, but that's not all there is. There's a part in our worship to God we have to learn to open our mouth and to begin to vocalize our praise to God. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get a louder amen? Yeah, see, I know you got a voice in there. Some of you can yell at your kids really well, and I'm saying who? Or you can yell at a sporting event and you can make noise, but when it comes to the worship of God, it's like... We have to be okay, because part of this worship is beginning to speak out. So, okay, I will let the humble hear thereof and be glad. And then it says this. This is so good. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Oh, this is so good. Magnify the Lord with me. Do you know what happens when you magnify something? It gets bigger. Now, just so you know, when we magnify God, we don't make him bigger, because how many know he's already big? But it's our perspective that changes. Because how many know we have a way of making our problems bigger? And sometimes what we're doing is we are magnifying our problems. And when you magnify your problems, you make your problems bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden it begins to affect your heart. So magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me. Everybody say delivered. Delivered. He delivered me from all my fears. You know why some people are so overwrought and unable to begin to find movement and traction in their life? Why they're overcome by worry and fears is because they've magnified him so big. And what we have to do, like, listen, like, this learning to wait on God is learning to worship him and magnifying him, because when we do that, it begins to change the perspective of our heart. Secondly, we have to worship. Secondly, we have to align. Alignment means that we're coming in line with. Now, for those who have vehicles, how many know it's important to have your wheels properly aligned? If you don't have alignment done right in your car, let me tell you some evidences that alignment may not be working. Number one, it will either pull you to the left or right once you take your hands off the wheels. Have you ever had those moments? Take your hands off and there's a whoop. That's generally an alignment issue. Because the moment pressure stops being applied, you drift. How many know there's an aspect to all of our lives that there can be some drift that happens when we don't hold on to the pressure? And the reason is because there's an alignment issue. The second thing that happens with an alignment issue is you get uneven wear. And so what will happen is that your tires will bald in different ways and you'll wear things down. And I'm convinced many times people are wearing down and wearing out. Part of the reason is misalignment. Their lives are not in line with God's word. And this is so important. Part of this waiting on God, that we actually have to like wrestle with this whole idea. Okay, we're magnifying him because he's great, but we're also stopping to reflect and say, okay, is my life in line with God's word? Am I loving people like Jesus wants? Am I pursuing the things that God wants me to pursue? Am I in line with what he is saying? Or am I just trying to get what I want? There's a very important piece within this whole alignment piece, and that is actually called repentance. See, repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of direction, and repentance is the recognition that, you know what, I'm out of line. There's an area in my life that's misaligned, and you need to understand this, that when we sin, God is not indifferent to it. He actually feels it. What do I mean by that? If you read in the New Testament, you'll hear about this idea of grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll put it in terms as a parent. How many of you parents, you've seen your kids make decisions and your heart hurts for them because you know not only may they be just snarky toward you, but you know that that attitude or decision they're making is going to unleash a whole lot of hurt in their hearts and you begin to feel for them because you know the consequences of the decisions they're making. How many of you parents have felt that? Did you know when you sin, God's heart breaks? Because he understands that, you know what, the things that we treat trivially and we're like, that doesn't matter. He's just like going, no, it's gonna matter far more than you realize. It's gonna cause more hurt and more damage than you realize. And his heart hurts for it. And this is why he sent Jesus. And part of this alignment piece is saying, God, what I need you to do, God, I need to bring my life in line. And God, I know there are moments and times in my life where I choose against your word and your will. And Lord, I am sorry. And I repent. Repentance is not just a word for sinners who need to turn to God. Repentance is a word that followers of Jesus need to wrestle with and embrace as they continue to work alignment in their life, because your obedience, your alignment to God's word and will is the demonstration of your love for him. Worship, align. The third thing is to intercede. Like part of waiting on God is there's this worship of him, there's this aligning, but there's also this intercession where we say, you know what? I'm gonna stand between two things. I'm not content to watch my neighbors, my community, my family devolve or see sin at work. I'm going to call out to God on behalf of this need. And there's an intercession. We did it this morning. With Helen, we were like going, okay, there's a situation, there's a need. Let's all stand in and we all lift up our voices together and we're praying together because we're interceding because we want God to step into that moment and do something because we need God to do something. And we're not content to be indifferent about it. And part of waiting on God is to begin to intercede. It's beginning to cry out for your family. It's beginning to cry out for your children. It's beginning to cry out for your community, for your country, for your workplace. It's beginning to recognize that as sin moves in this, it is not just causing bad effects. It is hurting people's hearts. It is ruining them. It is keeping them from the God who made them. And oh God, we need you to work and we need you to move. That waiting on God is worship, it's alignments, it's intercession, and then fourthly, it's trust. And ultimately in trust, what we end up doing is trust is more than just belief. It's belief that is followed by action. Trust involves acting. And there's this aspect, and we don't have time to go through all of this, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There was something that the Spirit was stirring and there was something that they were doing. And let me tell you, part of the whole trust piece is as the Spirit of God begins to stir, we begin to participate with, we begin to work with what the Spirit is doing. And as we do that, God begins to do amazing things. Okay, worship team, come up because we're going to land this plane. Okay, to serve God's purpose, we need God's Spirit. Like as we reflect again, a day of Pentecost, it's the reminder, you know what? What needs to identify our lives? It's the fact that we're people of the Spirit. People who have experienced the love of God that has changed their life, and now that love, that power, that Spirit is not only in us, but it's beginning to manifest itself through our being. We are called to be people of the Spirit. And I believe that this waiting on Jesus, waiting on the Father, waiting on the gift of the Spirit is something that we have to continually cultivate in our lives because we're so busy. We have to hurry to hear and hear and hear. God says, listen. Jesus is like, listen, guys. Don't be in such a hurry for all these other things. And you miss out on the gift that God has for you. Because it's that gift that changes everything. Okay, so this is how we're going to end. Y'all ready for this one? We're going to practice waiting. You're like, oh my goodness. Somebody's like, oh good Lord Jesus, how long? And I'm like, we'll wait for 2 hours. Just kidding. You're like going, yeah, I saw that. Like, oh no, we got to go. It's getting late. Okay. We're going to practice these four things really quick. What we're going to do is we're just going to take a few minutes, a couple minutes, and we're just going to stand. And what we're going to do is we're just going to begin to magnify God with our voices. We're just going to begin to lift up his name. We're just going to begin to worship him. And just, you know, it doesn't matter. You got a bad week that's happened. Got a bad week coming up. Got some things. Okay, we're going to set all that stuff aside just for a moment. And we're just going to take time just to magnify Jesus. So this is what I want us to do. I want us all to stand. Man, would you just take a moment? Just lift your hands. Just begin to lift your voices. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Oh, we worship you. We magnify you. God, there is none like you. Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our help, our hope, our joy, our strength. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Come on, continue to lift your voices. Jesus, we need you. Lord, we're so grateful for you. Oh, we worship you. Lord, there is none like you. Our strong fortress, our tower, our deliverance, our help. Lord, we thank you. That, Lord, you're our Redeemer and our Savior. Jesus, we worship you. Lord, we magnify you, God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you are here in this place. Lord, I thank you that you care about us. You care about our needs. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship, we magnify your name. God, there is none like you. We worship you, Jesus. worship you, our Savior. We worship you. God, there's none like you. Lord, we bless your name. Let's just take a moment and just begin to say, God, would you help me live in alignment with your word? It was David who wrote saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my every anxious thought. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, I believe that Jesus longs to lead us into holiness. And as we take moments like this, the Spirit of God begins to make us aware of areas in our life where we need God to begin to do a work of grace. And as He shows you, it's your opportunity to ask for forgiveness. It's your opportunity to begin to repent and say, God, would you change me? Oh Lord, we need you. God, I need you to live rightly with you. Oh Jesus, I thank you for your word and your will and your purpose, God. Lord Jesus, search me. God, know me. Lord, I thank you that you care so much about my life. Oh God, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh God, forgive, forgive. Lord, may my life be lived for your honor and your glory. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your grace that meets us even in this moment. Lord, as we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lord, I thank you that God, our mess and our mess ups are not greater than your love for us. And so we receive grace today. And let's just take a moment, just begin to intercede. Maybe there's a need in your life or in your family, maybe with someone at work. Would you just take a moment and just begin to pray and speak God's grace and power over that individual, over that situation? Lord Jesus, Lord, you're the God that reaches down and touches and transforms. Holy Spirit, would you do a work of healing? God, would you begin to mend that heart? Jesus, would you touch? Lord Jesus, we need you. We need your help. God, I thank you that you care. Oh, Jesus, thank you. God, we need you. Lord, I thank you that you hear every prayer that is being offered in this place. You see every need. And God, I thank you that you have a supernatural supply, a provision, a grace. And God, we speak favor and blessing and outpouring for these that are on our hearts and minds to heal and restore. Lord, to reconcile. Lord, I thank you that you care. And God, I thank you that we can put our hope and our trust in you. And God, even in this moment, we choose to believe. Believe that you're working. Believe that you're moving. That God, you're stirring. That you are making good. And God, we place our hope in you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that your desire is still to pour out your Spirit on your people. And God, our hearts are open. God, may we lean into your presence. May we receive of your Spirit. Oh, we worship you, oh God. Oh God, change us, empower us, and use us. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for grace and goodness that meets us. And God, we need you. God, I thank you that, Lord, you are stirring something in our hearts and in our lives. May we continue to lean into your presence, to walk in your purpose. We'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is good, isn't he? Amen. How many sense his presence in this place? Amen. I want to encourage you, as you go through this week, practice this. Just take like 5 minutes in the morning and just take some time just to worship. To align, to intercede and trust. And what I'm convinced will happen as you do this, as you step out into your world, God's going to begin to work in and through you to help bring life and healing and freedom and goodness. I want you to know you're loved. So as you go, may the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. As you know, we're believing with you for great things, because God has amazing things in store for us. God bless you. We'll see you all soon.